Fevzi Turkalp is the editor of GadgetDetective.com, and he joins me now. Fevzi, thanks very much for your time. So we've got the National Audit Office report rating the BBC iPlayer worse in some ways, worse in terms of picture and sound quality than some of its rivals. Netflix, better in a number of ways than the BBC's own iPlayer. But all of these platforms, Fevzi, they're all getting pretty good, aren't they?
Yeah, I mean, technically, they're very good. I think the challenge that they have is to have enough unique content that makes it worth subscribing to their service as well as maybe others.
What's unfortunate is, and maybe this was inevitable, that the golden age of streaming that was maybe, you know, a couple of years ago, where you could get by with only having Netflix or only having whichever one it happened to be, there's a lot more subscribe to this service if you want to see this particular show going on.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So years ago, Netflix was the platform, and content providers such as Disney would have put their things on, on Netflix. But then Disney and, you know, Hulu and Paramount and all those set up their own services and obviously promptly pulled their content off Netflix. So Netflix is now looking a little bit threadbare, I think. I mean, it's got some very good content and some very good documentaries, but it's not, it's a shadow of what it was before as being a sort of one-stop shop.
So in this country, you've got Netflix, in no particular order, Apple TV, Amazon Prime, Now TV, which of course would be a way of getting the Sky Channel. I mean, there's just four I can think of that you might pay for.
Sure.
Which ones am I missing? Disney, you've mentioned
Disney Plus. And of course, you know, there's other things like YouTube. I mean, I spend more time watching YouTube and paying for YouTube Premium, which is ad-free. Okay. Than watching terrestrial TV.
How much does that cost?
I think it's just under a tenner.
So it's about
cheap.
A tenner as well. So you add all of this up, and you're looking at 50, 60 quid a month, potentially. Now, you might have paid that for a top-end satellite TV package some years ago, but that's only going to get more expensive. And we've seen incremental increases, haven't we, on the part of many of these streaming services. It's not cheap to have all the options.
No, and that's the problem. And UK customers in particular are unsubscribing from these paid services in droves at the moment. Now, part of that is because, you know, there was a peak when COVID came and people were not going out, but it's also, you know, cost of living crisis and so forth. What people want and need, even if they don't realise that they need it yet, it is bundling, a consolidation of those services, either that those companies themselves will start consolidating into single services, or that there are bundles that give you access to tiers of programming from each of them, so that you don't have to have five subscriptions, that you can actually maybe pay £20 a month and have the majority of the output from each of them. And, you know, at the moment, everyone's going great guns trying to build their audience share. But it's very difficult, and this situation can't continue like this.
No, I don't think it will either. I don't think it can. It doesn't feel sustainable, does it? Particularly with new entrants coming into the market all the time. There's a bit of that going on. I've noticed with Amazon, for example, if you're on the Amazon Prime app, you can take up free trials and then subscriptions to channels that are available on the Amazon Prime platform for an additional subscription. So to an extent, they're acting as a bit of a clearinghouse or a curator as well, aren't they? Will we see more of that, do you think?
Yeah, I think so. And it's interesting you mention Prime, Amazon Prime, because they are doing bundling of a different sort, of course, because most people who have got access to Prime Video didn't subscribe to Prime for that purpose. They wanted their packages quicker and cheaper. And that actually is a great strength for them, because you can't unbundle the video, so you may as well watch it. And if you may as well watch it, then is it really worth paying extra for Netflix, for example? Some will not want to do that. So I think these sorts of bundling, consolidation of video services, but also bundling in the sense of not only movies and sports together, but perhaps books and cloud services and podcasts. And you see that with Spotify as well. People who can offer everything in the round, maybe, you know, are more robust. I think people like Netflix actually are in trouble, because it's very hard for them to produce truly compelling content month after month, year after year, that will make people subscribe. People will unsubscribe and maybe subscribe for short periods and consume huge bundles of content and then unsubscribe again. So I think we're in for a period of change. It's quite fascinating. It's also a generational thing. I saw a statistic for the UK the other day that said over 65s watch 7 times as much conventional television as 16 to 24-year-olds do, who prefer things like YouTube and TikTok, for example. I think the other thing that's interesting about this is that despite all these streaming services, which have clearly have their strengths and will go and become even more popular in the round, you've still got things like live events that are best done by, linear broadcast television, partly because they have the resources to do it, but also because they have the connections. So, obviously you've got people like Sky Sports and so forth, but if you need to cut to Parliament or something like that, then you might turn on one of the conventional broadcasters, because it takes a while for YouTube to catch up. It can be an hour or two before you get the clip starting to appear.
Yeah, and there was a separate but related conversation a couple of weeks ago. The Director General of the BBC saying that within a decade he can imagine all of the BBC's services will be available online rather than through an aerial squirted into the back of your television. And of course, that doesn't mean it can't still be live. That's just about the way the content is distributed.
I think that it's not very important in the sense that it's just the broadcast medium. We don't care in principle whether something is FM radio or DAB or whatever, as long as we can get it and it's convenient, then that's fine. The BBC has been making moves towards being a digital only platform at least since 2022, when they announced BBC 4 and CBBC were going to go online only, although that's not looking like it's going to happen before 2025 now. I also think, and the BBC have said that they're thinking that between 2010 and 2028, they'll have seen a 30% drop in their license fee income. Yeah. So I also think that there's some there's an implicit threat in that statement as well from Tim Davey, Director General of the BBC. He knows that there are people, as we say, older generations, who will not go with them over the next 5 years, and that they have a responsibility to them. But at the same time, this is a stick to thump the government back with and say, well, if you're going to carry on cutting our funding by way of license fee cuts, then we're going to do it like this.
Fevzi, thank you. That's Fevzi Turkalp, editor of GadgetDetective.com.